Hello there, friends. Andrea with the Bangs here, and for this episode of She Wonders Why, I have the pleasure of speaking to one of my friends who I met on the Bridges of Meaning server, Cassidy Poling. I've spoken with her actually once before for the podcast last year, but today she is a guest on my podcast so that we can discuss a very special upcoming event called the Bridges of Meaning Festival. It's taking place in Germany, and if you are on the Bridges of Meaning server and you're interested in going, there are still tickets, and I believe I have some information down in the description on where you can get your hands on some of those tickets. Now, one of the things Cassidy and I discuss is how important it is to meet in person, even if you start off as an online group, and what does the future of friendships and relationships that are solely based in an online world. Like, what does this look like? How can you do this in a healthy way? And also just how meeting in person is really important to continue forward with relationships and friendships that start off online. So yeah, that's the main deal for this chat. Let me know what you think. I really appreciate your guys' comments, just to say it makes me think, and I got a lot of them in my last video, so I'm really interested to hear what you think. Who knows, if you leave a message for me, maybe I'll read it out. That's a thing, I think, right? People do that? Anyway, okay, I'm just babbling. I'm just going on. So, without further ado, here is me and Cass. Anyway. Oh, hey, what do you think of these? What do you think of my babbling?
I like them. That's you and the one, right?
It is. I'm trying to decide if that's like, oh, cool, or if it's, oh, really narcissistic.
So, it's a jump ball.
Yes. I feel like it's a mix. Or I might also put my channel art, which is like my face as a cartoon. So I was thinking of putting that in there, but it's still me. So I don't
but it's
know.
Brand.
Okay. So, but the vintage thing's also kind of my brand. Like, it's not just like a selfie. Like, it's not just a selfie of me. It's like, oh, this is I'm dressed in a 1940s style jumpsuit with like an old Mercury there. Anyway.
Yeah, if it helps. I didn't think, Andrea, what a narcissist.
Okay, that helps. I know that you're joking, but it actually does help. So anyway. Oh yeah, hi, this is Cassidy. Cassidy Poling, my friend. As seen before when we chatted, I don't know, last year?
You know, what is time?
I mean, we've talked before, in between, but we recorded for the channel, for my channel, I think maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. When we were just first friends, and I didn't think you liked me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do about that.
Oh, well, I mean, I think you've reassured me since then. But then comments like that make me wonder, so, I mean,
you're like, I don't know what to do. I'm not getting sucked into your battle.
Oh, God. Why am I so open and vulnerable? Anyway, good times. So I've actually seen, because I was on your podcast last year.
Yes.
And so we just ping pong between.
Yeah. So how once a year.
Yeah. How is your podcast going, though? Like, do you still do your walk and talks?
I still do some things. It's been a bit of a break since I've been in between countries traveling and festival planning. So it's been on a hiatus, but it hasn't stopped. I actually have a catalog of things that I need to post.
You're ordered. Good for you.
I'm not as ordered as I would like to be. But things kind of just got piled up, and I wasn't in my normal space, and I was in the U.S. longer than I anticipated being in the U.S. So
right now, back in, I brought this in honor for you.
I did notice it. Yes, back in Holland.
Yes. So, I mean, okay. Do you want to talk about how you moved to Holland, or would you rather move on to the main event?
No. Sure, I moved.
So why are you in Holland, Cass? Like, why are you in? What brought you there?
Oh, this makes me somewhat uncomfortable because I'm slightly private.
Oh, okay, that's life. What I asked!
No, I'm fine with it.
Okay, so editing these.
It makes me
alone.
Uncomfortable, but I'm fine with it. Well, let's go there, you know, okay. Shared vulnerability.
Right, you're like, Andrea, you're fine with being, like, overtly vulnerable. You're like, I'll grab a tiny little bit. All right, please
It's
continue.
no, I mean, like, generally online, I hint at things of like my private life, but
The
I'm not so
subtleties.
explicit about them. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it just is what it is. But I moved to Holland to be with my boyfriend at the time. Met him online on the Bridges of Meaning Discord server. Had a friendship, and you know, one thing led to another. And I now live in Holland, and yeah, we're engaged and planning a wedding and moving forward in life, so it's exciting.
Yay! That wasn't so hard. You were very succinct and you got through it. It's so quick. Good job.
Thanks.
There you go.
I'm not like private in that I don't care. I don't care if people know. I mean,
All
I'm
right.
especially like interpersonally, I'm actually a very vulnerable
All
person
right.
in like my interpersonal life, or at least I try to be. It's not easy for me, but I see an incredible value in it. I just think on the internet, you know, there's a lot that can be taken out of context, or a lot that can go wrong, and I just try to be careful about,
Well, I
like,
think that you're
I play with the
describing good
line of,
boundaries, so good job. Like, good for you.
I play with the line of how much of my personal life do I put on, not only for myself, but you
Right.
know, for my partner, for
Yeah.
you know, the safety of myself. Like, I used to do the walk and talks. I still do walk and talks, but I haven't done one in Holland yet.
Okay.
But mostly just in the desert because the weather's a little more predictable.
Yeah.
You know, I used to get people used to like ask, "Oh, where are you walking?" Or like, you know, I'd get nervous something would show up, and
I see.
you know, it's not like I actually thought something gonna happen, but it's the internet. You never know, you know.
I
I
see.
watched
Okay.
Don't F with Cats, and now I'm paranoid.
Oh gosh. Okay, so no, I actually think that you have really good boundaries and maybe I should think about that for me.
I mean, it's honestly probably like, and I think for me, just starting off, it's kind of setting a tone of what do I want to do in like creation. And like, I don't mind being vulnerable, but a lot of what I do in the online space has a lot more to do with just sort of understanding other people's stories and like how that affects the way we explore information and like having a healthy relationship with that. So sometimes it helps to have that separation. And you know, I give pieces of my life out when I talk with people because I just think it's helpful, but I always try to figure out the right balance.
No,
But
it is. It's a spectrum of like how far, where do you fit and for you comfortably personally, and we do all have different things that looks like and
I think there's just something nice of having little private things where, as much as you know, I go on and I'm myself when I'm on my channel or when I talk to anyone, there's still a part of me that's like the person you see on the screen. It's not me. It's a version of me. We all have these different versions and the camera changes things, and holding on to little pieces of you that are private helps, I don't know, it just helps me kind of ground in certain ways of my life versus the thing that I share and do online. And I don't know if it's a good thing, but it's a thing I play with as I navigate this weird world we find ourselves in. But
Well, I think that it's like this the scale of like pros and cons. Like there's an extent of like how friendly are you and how like oh no I really I'm just thinking about for me. Oh wow, I was really friendly seeming and now I did it too much because maybe secrets are good sometimes. I'm seeing where I do see where it's good for the holding back bit is very different from how I go about things. So I see that as like, yeah, I could use me a little of that. But then at the same time, it does really help with me making online connections with people in who I'm interviewing and friendliness and a little bit disarming. People are a little bit more open. So I've seen I can see both like positives for both and negatives for both. So.
yeah, I mean, I tend to be far more vulnerable about myself and things in my past and what I know about myself than things that deal with external factors. I mean, particularly with therapy, like when I moved here, we were dating. You know, we had a night, you know, you don't move across the world for somebody without, you know, some seriousness in the expectation of the relationship, but you don't know what that's going to look like. It's not a marriage, it's not a commitment, and so things aren't quite as permanent. And so just being more cautious about how much I put that into what I create, kind of gave me some space to explore that without feeling the pressure of people watching it or looking for it or supporting something that had an ability to grow more preciously in a semi-private way. And
Right.
you know, like we didn't hide our relationship, and Verdi is not a public figure, so
No, no, no.
there's not theories or things that are going to come out of it. But for myself, it was just one of those things where I wasn't ready to talk about it publicly, so I
Right.
didn't, or
And
you know.
now I made you, so sorry.
Yes, now you
Although
made me,
I
and
try,
so.
well, I try. Oh, Cassidy, I tried to breadcrumb it with the, should we talk about you moving to Holland?
I'm giving you a hard time. I
Okay.
knew where you were going.
I know. Okay. I'm being a little bit,
I
yes,
tried to
I'm
make you feel
letting you give me a hard
special.
time right now.
I was trying to make you feel special, Andrea. I was
Okay.
being
Okay. Thank you.
vulnerable.
Thank you. Anywho, so back on track. See, I found it. Found it. Went back to the back. A bur way to bury the lead, though, me. So the whole reason why we're officially talking, we were going to unofficially talk to catch up, but we're recording this because we. Oh, like you're going to tell me about the festival. The is it called like the German festival or the European festival for Bridges of Meaning?
So
Give
we're
me the
calling it,
information.
yes, we're calling it the Bridges of Meaning Festival. I mean, I don't know how many of your viewers are part of Bridges of Meaning, or I'm sure they've heard of the community just being around your channel. But we're both active members. We've been there for a long time. I was one of the first early adopters for Bridges of Meaning, and I've always been a really big advocate for online participation, moving outside of the online space into the real world. And I've done that in various ways. Meeting people, like I've met you, I've met several different members all over the place. You know, I dated a Bridges of Meaning person, and so finding a ways to make that integrated in real life instead of just online, that's been like a challenge, but also such a like joy to see the way something could grow that way and be rooted in reality. But I think for the bigger scope of just the community and sort of the idea of the estuary movement at large, getting it offline and into real communities, because I think this type of talk where we have religious and non-religious people coming together to have meaningful conversation, neutral spaces, to learn from each other, and to see how story integrates within ideas and formation and really moving people first can be done well online, but has such a better application, growth, and overall health in real communities. And so I've been very strong in advocating for larger events or actual in-person estuaries. And moving to Europe, I wasn't sure exactly how I was going to continue moving forward in that, just kind of with the unpredictability of had this plan of being in the US and doing things here, and it all got switched up. But Matthias, another member, launched his festival, the Bridges of Meaning Festival, in Landau, Germany. And, you know, I was just so excited to see the way that he had not only fostered his own estuary group within Germany that's meeting on a monthly basis, but now this movement to make a bigger event and create something bigger that could be international and grow the community and give more space for more people to participate in this thing that we both gained a lot from personally. And yeah, so I reached out to him. I've had event experience. I've worked in entertainment for a long time, and I have event coordination experience, and kind of mentioned that to him and started the ball rolling of how can I help. And now I'm kind of co-running this festival, and we're making plans to do the first one this August, but also find ways to make it sustainable and keep it a yearly event and continue to find ways to have more of these events. And so Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to talk more about it, get the word out, and we'd love to help people online who are interested in these big question exploration and interested in having people to talk with, like so many on this little corner, find that in the actual world we live in, which has not been so easy to do with COVID, and now it's switching, and so it's really exciting.
So what does it look like? Are there, how many days is it? And like, are there like events within the time, like formal, informal?
Yeah, so it's a 3-day festival, 2 full days, and then one sort of kickoff event on Friday night. And it's a mix between structured speakers, breakout events, and then more casual events where people can mingle between themselves, create relationships. And we also have some art, or well, we have a concert from Two More Bees, one of the
Oh,
nights, to kind
great.
of add sort of an artistic element to it. And I think for us, it's sort of really this a culmination of what we think is the best parts of the estuary movement, where it's connection first, people first spaces, where people can freely talk amongst themselves and make connection, understand people's stories, where we can gather around information by people who help us think and, give us that space to explore these big questions and unpack the things that we wrestle with in life, and learning how to put our own skin in the game and do that well with others, where it doesn't become a war against people or even ideas, but a genuine exploration of things. And so we put a lot of thought in all of the events, and I can give you a link to the website where we have the full schedule. But we have three main speakers, Paul Vanderclay, John Van Donk, and then Bern Powers. They're all going to be doing lectures and Q&As, but we also have some panel discussions and other breakout discussions that everybody will be involved. We've got a couple community meals planned that are provided by the festival, so
Oh,
people can
cool.
come, gather, and eat. We have bonfire events where there's music and, marshmallows and places to kind of slow down and get to know people and just enjoy nature. It's at an event center in Landau. It's called the Sitzstern, and I'm probably saying that wrong because it's German. And I wish Matthias was here to correct my
We'll go and
pronunciation.
then he'll correct it in person and we'll know how to properly pronounce it.
Yes, but they've been super helpful in partnering with us and allowing us to have the space. And they're a community center that, they have a similar mission to what Estuary is, to bring space to the community and help people have support and community in a world that seems to be missing a lot of that, especially for people sort of in the outskirts of religion, but other things as well. And so they've been super helpful in giving us this beautiful space to have this festival. It's open air, it's very casual, and they're allowing people to camp on the grounds as well. So it's kind of an
That's so
all,
cool.
yeah,
What if you don't have camping equipment, though?
well, some people are, we have a Discord server for the festival itself and a private group for all the festival attendees, and some of them are working together to like get Airbnbs or
Oh, okay.
find other ways. And we're only allowing about 20 to actually camp on
Okay.
the grounds, just to help keep management for our team
Right.
and make sure everything runs smoothly. But I'm sure you could probably talk with some other people. I mean, I think we've got someone who wants to camp in the car. So,
Okay.
you can get creative.
Right,
We're
right.
trying to hear help and just make it fun and get people connected. And I think our ultimate goal is to try and get people to start thinking about estuary and bringing it into your community outside of just big events, but finding ways to then bring that into your life and make that more accessible, kind of every day.
So estuary, even though we're going on assuming that people have watched Paul Vanderclay's videos where he describes it, but maybe do you want to just give a quick definition?
Sure. Estuary is kind of hard to explain because
Well,
I think
our
a lot of
definition.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have different ideas of what the movement is, but the way that I've always seen it, I've seen Estuary as this movement to create spaces where religious and non-religious people can come together in a neutral space to exchange ideas and let things grow from that. And we model it after natural estuaries where salt water comes into fresh water and creates these super biodiverse
Yes,
ecosystems, the most biodiverse ecosystems in the world. And that's sort of that idea when we can find that neutral space and we can find ways to have these different ideas mesh, things can grow and people can explore things and kind of have a better participation and appreciation for what it means to ask the questions about religion, politics, the things that matter the most. And I think it's super important now because a lot of people in our generation, we grew up with parents who told us not to talk about those things. So we don't know how to, and we're stumbling through it. And now it feels like so many people are understanding how important it is to talk about those things, but they're either too afraid to step out and say what they're struggling with for fear that they'll get shut down, or there's that instinct to kind of go with the flow and just not think too deeply because it could create a lot of chaos with that. And
Yeah, or the people are just like, this is boring, I don't care. Like
some
that's,
people, but I
or I
honestly
mean
think
the audience that they might be afraid that people will shut them down because they're like, this is too much or something, yeah.
And I think we're all kind of struggling there. And I think Estuary's been this weird place where it's not stuck on ideology necessarily. It's more focused on spirits than actual senses of ideas, where it's not a spirit of fighting against someone or warring against an idea. It's wrestling with ideas in this spirit of exploration and understanding and sort of a people-first mentality, where if we can understand people and their stories and how that interlinks with how they think and what they think, that can help us give a better sense of how the world is. And there's something very refreshing about being in a place where you're not actively being converted into something. Do you know what I
You're
mean?
not an end, like the means to, like, oh, we gotta get them to convert to this thing, and if they end up liking it, great. If not, then they'll maybe we can guilt them, or like, yeah, no,
Well,
not a good system.
I mean, a lot of people, they'll go to churches to try to explore those answers. And a lot of people are religious. Most people are religious. And so you can go to your church, but after a certain point, you start asking questions and you're not quite sure if where those questions are going to lead and if it's going to be aligned with this church that you're a part of. And that creates this weird dynamic when you ask those questions. There are a lot of really helpful people in churches who will walk with you and answer those questions, but there's always a fear and a pressure that, the idea that this community believes, there's going to be a wanting to push you towards that. And I
Ulterior
don't.
motive. Like, I don't want to put that on churches as if they have all these
No.
hidden agendas, but when
No,
there's no ulterior motive and there's not an organization behind it,
I mean,
then
it's a really natural reaction, I think, for a church when they believe something. And churches are organizations where you become a member because you stand with the things that that church stands. No one's no one's forcing you into it, right? And so there's that accountability and that checkpoint that I think is a natural and can be a healthy thing in churches, although that has its own tricky balance as well. But it's not always the most helpful when you're stuck in that middle and you're trying to get out of that place where you just want to accept. How do I say this right? Because it's not just like I don't want to accept the things that I was given, but having genuine questions about those things and not sure how convicted you are to those things anymore.
Well, the
And trying to
wrestling
find a
with
space to
that's
wrestle with
like,
that honestly.
you just this like
Yeah,
that
it's
kind
a
of a
tension. I for my channel, I see myself somewhere in the deconstruction space. and not in the normal way people think, where it's like I deconstructed and
Right.
I, now I question religion. I'm more deconstructed and I guess you could say became more religious, but I think I
Re
just saw,
reconstructed in a different way.
I reconstructed in a different way and I saw a different view of what religion was always supposed to be, and it led me to Eastern Orthodoxy. But, I've just seen the way that deconstruction is so at war, especially in evangelical churches, when I don't think it's as bad as we
People are
make it
afraid
to
it is.
be. We just have to have a respect with it and find ways to operate in it well. And I'm losing faith in the war against it as being helpful for that. And I haven't experienced it being helpful because I warred against my deconstruction. I wouldn't have such a healthy relationship with religion and the ideas that I hold. I wouldn't have that strength that it took to ask those questions and dig those roots and stand more confidently in the idea of God or theism or any of the other questions that I had to go through to get to a place where I could say, oh, I'm an Orthodox Christian. You know what I mean? And so I see estuary as a really good space for that type of crowd. And that's, I think, where my heart with it is with it in a lot of ways, because I know what it's like to struggle with the church questions and not know where to go and not feel like you're fully understood. And coming across Paul's channel, it was the first time I saw a pastor talking about these things that I had always struggled with and feeling giving a space for that. And I think that was something really beautiful to me. It was really, really beautiful.
Now, giving a space, I like that, that makes sense. And I like that you brought it up before about how bringing the online space into the material world. Yes. Yeah, because there's a sort of, well, because I've heard pushback against people saying, oh, it's not real, like these online spaces aren't real. Well, they're real. They're real on a certain level. But there is another level that is achieved when you meet someone in person, when you converse over a meal, when you th there's a participation level that is achieved in person that can't be. Well, you literally, sorry, I'm bringing your life into this. You literally like began your relationship with your now fiance online and then brought it to the material world in reality. On a different level, when you saw him for the first time in the flesh.
Right. Well, and you've brought this up before. I remember you did a video about that. Is the internet real? And kind of talking about that. And I think about that question all the time because it is and it isn't. It's this weird contradiction where there's so much of it that is real, yet there's a part of it that isn't. But it's always it all in your participation affects your real world and the way you see things and the way you interact. And I think for myself, just with my participation in online communities and seeing how real those relationships are, my struggle with the advocation to just keep it all online is that it is not as sustainable or healthy than finding that in your real life community, getting disconnected and getting committed to the community here. Because not only I mean, me and Faraday dated 8 months before we were ever able to meet each other because COVID lockdowns. And like, in some ways, that gave us this space to grow, and we had this very interesting participation to understand like the beauty of what an online world could do and how it connect people that never could before. Yet there's also that limitation of recognizing we can't keep doing this. We can't keep being sustainable, being across the world, only having Zoom conversations, never meeting. Like, and you see the way that it bloomed the minute we were able to participate in the real world together. And then the minute, I come and I live here, and now our lives aren't together, but they're in the same country. And there's far more intertangling, and there's far more roots that can grow, and you just miss so much when you're only on the online space.
Well, 'cause you
And
also
I
present your like this is me, this little square, like to
yeah
the world, and
well and
it's a
it's
lot
really
more than
tricky.
that.
Well, it's really tricky because I, as a filmmaker and a documentarian, I've always been interested in the way that cameras change people. Where the minute you involve a camera in the scenario, it doesn't matter who you are, like something changes. And I think it can be fought. I look at now all I'm doing is talking about my relationship. But I
No,
look at
it is a
my
perfect, like, not even analogy, just instance.
it's a good
It's a good
comparison,
example.
and I think it for me it just it definitely made things clearer about sort of my vision of why I want to see these things in person. But like we dated 8 months, and we talk about it all the time. Like, we were not different people once we got in the same room. Like, it was like, oh wow, like you are the same person. But there's always that wondering, well, what's different from being in the same room than being, 700 miles away, or however long,
Right. Well, because it
however
is a
far we
wonder. Like
are.
you're in a space where you kind of believe what's in front of you, but then there is that sort of, like, I guess, like, you could say mystery if you're trying to make it sound cool. But so, I mean, again, it's almost like the mystery is okay in the beginning, because it's like a first the first dates of, oh, what are these people like? It's layers of that, but then you can't. It's not sustainable. Like it's okay for a time, it seems
But
like.
I think it really just depends on who you are. Like, I think there are certain people who are unwilling to be vulnerable and committed the way you would need to be to make a relationship like mine and Verity's work. Because if we hadn't both been vulnerable, if we hadn't both participated in the right spirit and had that primed before we even got to the idea of dating, it wouldn't have worked. And like, yeah, and I also think it was just, we were the right people at the right time for that. Faraday in a lot of ways was a whole list of never agains for me, yet there was something about him that switched the narrative where
There you go.
it showed me the depth of like the complication of things. And I think that's what Estuary's done for me in a lot of things, including ideas and people and the way they express themselves.
I just love the list of never agains that you just say without any sort of, like,
Oh, he knows.
he knows. It's new. It's not news. It's he knows. So
Well,
there
and
you
I
go.
think outside of just my personal romantic relationship, like I've had friendships, I have had people that I've tried to support, and being an admin on the Bridges of Meaning server, there's a lot of people we try to support and give space to make mistakes, especially in big questions, and push boundaries, but in a way that is helpful and not destructive. And there's been people that, I've just gotten to the realization of like, it doesn't matter what I do online. If I can't be there in person, I can't really help them in the way that they need it. And to continue doing this online thing and getting sucked into a world that is not real, that is very disorienting and often distracting and negative, being the internet, it doesn't do what they need at the moment. And I think while online participation can be helpful and there are healthy ways to do it, it can't be all the time because that's not how we're designed. We're designed to be in the room with people. We're designed to pick up on people's energies and
And see their faces and their
see their
mannerisms
faces,
and,
their
well,
movements,
see
their
the their
whole.
bodies from here down.
Yes, exactly. And so, it's hard for me to say, oh, nothing's real on the internet. Oh, there's plenty of real things. In fact, it's in some ways, I think people don't take the reality of it seriously enough. And
Yeah, I can see
they
that.
play in this fantasy world, and then all of a
Oh,
sudden
this
it
doesn't
comes
count. I
crashing
can just
down.
send out words that are hateful and it's not real. No, it's a balance, right?
Yeah,
What were you gonna say?
it's both real and not real all at the same time. And like the same way that a camera can change a person, a anonymous tag behind a keyboard can change a person. And like I think there's something in the responsibility of that. And I think Discord has been a really successful way of moving Estuary as far as a social media platform, because it's not just text. It's not just catered pictures that I post. Like you can have live conversations, you can do video chats and like in groups
We
and
do book clubs sometimes and knitting club and things like that too, yeah.
yeah, you have events and you're interacting with people live, and I think it gets you closer to that dynamic of what it really is to, sit in a bar and strike up a conversation with a
Right.
stranger.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, I think we can both look at it and see how many amazing friendships. And here's the thing, me and Faraday are not the only relationship that has come out of the Bridges of Meaning Discord. I went to a wedding last summer from two people who met the same way me and Faraday did, and it ended in marriage. And so
Yeah.
there's something very interesting about the way the estuary has opened that door in a way I'd never seen online participation before. But it's something that I really do think needs to have that hybrid effect of like it can't just be all online
Yeah.
because it's not sustainable.
Right. Yeah, it's like if somebody was in a relationship and they were like hiding who they truly were, like, oh, I can't be like if I was, I can't do this. There's no way. But if I was, I think I'm gonna, I just like the look of the introverted girl. So I'm just gonna be the quiet. No, I shouldn't say introverted. The less outgoing. What's the opposite of outgoing? Quiet.
Reserved.
Reserved, yeah, the reserved, yeah. So like, oh, I really like the deal of the reserved girl who's just like really thoughtful. And if I tried to do, I don't know how I could ever do that. But say that I could manage that for a first date or something, like going back in time, Andrea, who's not married, like, and kept on trying to hold that. That would I probably get ulcers. Like you like it's not the same, but it's like a filter that you have up.
Yeah.
Well, I say I just say I'm not trying to be the opposite of my personality. Say I'm just like, oh, I really don't like that I'm so open about things right away. So I'm gonna act as if there's a camera on me, for that first date. Or I'm gonna act as if I'm gonna act a little bit of a filter. And sometimes filters are good, just let me say, like sometimes there's an appropriate amount of filters. Same way that it's okay to do to be a little bit more like, oh, we're online and we're chatting. Oh, we need to meet though when you're moving forward in a relationship. Like that can't be a forever online thing, But it just, yeah, there's levels of filters that are appropriate for certain times. And then there's levels of filters that are become inappropriate because they're hiding. Eventually, like, I mean, again, I've heard Paul Van Dyk say this something about how, if you say you go over to a potential partner's house or significant other for the first time, or even if relatives are visiting, anyone is coming from out of town, you're wanting you your house you typically clean it like to the most you can, like to the nth degree. You really really clean it up and make it nice, but that's not the typical. But then I thought this, what if you didn't do that? That would say something about you. Like even that you're willing to put up a filter for the sake of like, oh, social decorum, or is that even a word? And for the like for like social graces, I guess, that shows like you that person means enough for you to do a good job of welcoming them into your home. And so it's not just whatever dishes in the sink and the kids' laundry everywhere and whatever. So it like there are certain filters that I think are good to be up, but then yeah, there's a time there are times where that becomes almost not an appropriate thing to have up always.
Right, and I find communication so interesting, and the recognition that most of our communication is not verbal. It's our hand movements, it's our inflection, it's the cultural participation that we participate and adopt. Like those all say things about us. They all say things about what it means to be human and what it means to respect other people. And we all have these narratives in our head of what it is, what filters are appropriate, and what kind of actions say this or that about how I feel. And we all have different stories about that. And so it's finding that way of like discerning that for yourself, but also learning how to discern that in others and give grace and find ways to allow that to create healthy, beautiful growth in your life. And that comes in a lot of ways. And sometimes that comes with these cycles of life and death, where we have to die to certain things in order to understand what it is to have life. And, you know, I love the idea of it in sort of plants and gardens, because to me, you know, as a Christian, that's what life is, right? We go back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It's cultivating gardens and finding ways to learn what it is to do that with some divine thing that's higher than you and in that order that he made for you. And so there's something about this understanding people and the way they look at ideas and molding those two to help us reshift our narratives. And like, I'll go back to Faraday. Like, he was a list of never ever agains, because I had experienced in my life all of these things that he identified with or had that weren't right and that brought death into my life. Yet I needed all of that death in order to then come and see Faraday and have these lists of things and recognize, oh, just because he has these lists of things does not mean, therefore, that's death. And it redefined my categories, and it opened up the idea of what it meant to be human and what it meant to pursue good relationships, romantically and just relationally, and what that meant in like cultivating a life that was meaningful and beautiful.
Yeah,
Does that make any sense?
no, it does not. Well, because no, it's very much like the quote unquote rules of Christianity, where it's like, well, what am I supposed to do? What's the best law? You know, Christ, you know, tell us what is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. So, what does that look like? Well, yes, the Good Samaritan was his response, which was its own. That's its own thing we can delve into, but not now. But it is, well, it's what does that mean? Well, so that's the thing about these different filters. It's the same as what you could call like appropriate or inappropriate, or even like missing the mark, like sin. You know, sometimes doing something at a certain time is the right thing, and sometimes doing something at another time is the wrong thing. And it's wrong sometimes because of the where your heart is at, sometimes because of the situation, like internal or external. There's all these different, so we can go into filters, but it's very reminiscent of, to me, just the Christian life. But the filters thing, that's interesting to me, because yes, it just applying them, it's almost like becoming civilized. Like, oh, when do I hold back what I really think? Or when do I choose certain words so it doesn't look so like raw? Or like, how do I say something like in this context? Or like, I even speak differently when we're recording versus when we're not recording. Like, the very beginning of our chat, rather reminiscent of as if I wasn't recording, I'm gonna be honest there. I kind of was like, yeah, I kind of wish I could have gotten into the interviewer mode a little quicker. Oh well, we learn things, you know. But then maybe people thought it was funny or charming or whatever, you know. I don't know, you know. I'm just like, why am I so me right away? But go
Life
on.
has just so many layers, and like it's so complicated, and like that's the beauty of living and connecting with people, is like it's constantly surprising you. It's constantly breaking your categories and redefining. And I think as an Orthodox Christian, I think of like it redefines this idea of what it means to be saved for me. And in the Orthodox faith, you know, there's this belief that we're all in the process of being saved, and we're learning what it is to be truly human. And, you know, like I think for you, the struggles that you would have are probably similar to me, where I can be bold and brash, and I like to be comfortable with people. I like to make people feel comfortable, and I use vulnerability to do that. I don't mean that in a manipulative way, but I'm okay, especially when it's more private, to wear my heart on my sleeve. So for me, coming to a place where recognizing I probably have to think a little bit more about what I say if I'm going to be putting my face out there and my ideas out there, and just to give the right level of safety for myself and comfortability for myself as I wade into this thing that I'm playing. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's
Right. Well,
fun.
that's what
It's
humans do.
beautiful.
We play. Yeah. Well,
But I mean,
and oh, sorry. Go on.
no, I say there's another set of person who they have the trouble not being structured. They have the trouble of learning what it is to be vulnerable. And we need both types of people to learn and understand the full narrative. And like, life is full of paradoxes and contradictions. And I don't know, I just get a joy of seeing them. And I see them most clearly through people and their stories.
Well, and that's bringing it back to the meeting in person, because that is the layer that is the filter of the screen that gets taken away. And the idea of, yes, we still have like social norms in person, but it just something is cultivated in person. Friendships, like people, when they used to talk on the phone, it wasn't enough. Even back in the ancient days before video calls, because there's this idea of video calls. Well, now it's face to face, and that is better for me. But and I'm even like worried about, what if we can do the hologram thing? Oh, but now we have the bodies. We're embodying. I don't
Well, I
know.
mean, take us. We met online, we grew a friendship, and then you said, "I'm coming to Arizona, I want to meet you." And I said, "Cool." And we spent the whole day together, and
Yeah,
you
you were
know.
so up for doing whatever. I loved it. Anyway, but I didn't. Yeah, but that's the thing. That was, oh, you were so up for even doing whatever, even like me saying that. That wasn't, because I always think about, especially for relationships or couples, like, what do you, what about like getting annoyed that they're so slow at like opening the door or something? That's just, sorry, that's just a very, yeah, we have little annoyances. And it's just sort of funny when, oh, the screen is frozen on your lap. Oh, it's gone.
Oh.
It's gone. You're like, oh, she's hilarious. Oh, anyways. No, but so that's been my wonder. But even like positive, oh yeah, like Cass, you were up for going here and there and wherever, like whatever I wanted to do, you're just like, you were up for it. And I couldn't see that here with us chatting, because we can't. Like, there's the barrier of we can't get in the car and go do things. So even that was something that I would not have been able to guess unless you told me, yeah, I'm usually up for whatever when people visit me. And I'd be like,
I
take your word for it.
mean, every environment has limits. And like, you need the limits, or it's just like, oh, information overload, chaos, right? And so the internet has its limits for good reason. And like, I think there's that act of learning to know them and respect them and recognize when this participation is becoming a deficit versus a benefit for you. And when is this participation that you learned over here on this world ready to go out and create a better space in this world? I mean, the real world is hard because there's so much more to lose, or at least it perceives that way. There's and that's actually debatable on how true that is, but we don't have to go in the nuances of that conversation, but it feels so much realer. Well, because it is, it's tangible. There's only
Well,
so
even
much you can
smell,
see.
right? Like the material, like touch and smell, like those are things that you don't think about it, and it's not like I'm like, oh, I really need to like smell you, but
But even
it's being together in an organic sense.
the quality and tone of a voice can be different online. It's crazy.
How
It's
good's
these
your
little
microphone?
things.
Yeah. No.
It's these little things, these imperceivable things that we sense but can't speak of. And like, we only get glimpses of it, and there's something different. And it can be positive and negative. It's not all beautiful when it's all in person. Like, sometimes it's more difficult. It's definitely messier, and it's not as easy to shut off. But
Sure.
I guess my
It is.
ultimate point is, you know, there's this beautiful pattern between these two worlds, the online world and the real life world. And I've seen the beauty in both, and I've seen the struggles in both, and finding ways to, I really think finding
Navigate
ways to
it.
get, more grounded. And I think a lot of that does come to disconnection from the online world and a willingness to limit yourself to participate better in the real life limits that you have.
Well, and actually, yeah, someone taking the time to actually come and meet you, or you meeting up at a central place, like for the festival, or like me coming to visit you this summer. Although, like, I mean, I will say, like, that's like, so that's like our my husband and I, like, it's still like a vacation for us, but we wouldn't be doing this particular trip if we weren't meeting friends. Like, we would probably, because we've already been to the UK. Sorry, we're going to the UK and to the Netherlands with you guys, but we probably wouldn't be going to Europe. We would most likely be going on a cruise or something like that. But we just, I wanted to see people and see the sights. I wanted both. And so with their friends online that were friends enough to actually visit, it's a great excuse to travel, but it also you or so that's my thing for because I decided to do that instead of the festival. But anyways, my husband is not in the group, so I do feel like that would be unfair to drag him along. But if you guys are gonna do it every year, I might think about another year coming. But either case, it's you feel like if you're gonna travel a distance to meet up with someone, you feel valued. Like you I right? Like
Well, you wouldn't do it unless something meaningful happened there, right? Like you might randomly chat with someone playing a game who lives in the UK and you had fun playing the game, but it's hard to explain it, and that, it's bridge the meaning has changed so much. It's even hard to kind of really get a sense of what it was like at the beginning, but there was something special about that place and the way that meaningful connections happen and the way people in story was first in ideas. And that was really exciting. And it created all of these connections in this deep sense outside of, just relational. Like that's powerful. And I think it will only grow more powerful when we bring that into the real world and create a space like that in our communities where we can help people a lot more than what we can online.
No, I agree.
I don't know. I don't know what the future is of it, but as far as the part that we see playing in it, especially with the Bridges of Meaning Festival, like you said, we do want to make it yearly. We do want to continue making live events. It's not a one-time thing for us. We really see this as a positive benefit and a way that we can give back and want people to see the things that we've seen it, and not just on the online space, because that can be very much a barrier of entry for a lot of people. But in the areas and the towns that people live.
So that was actually that's my last question here because I have to go make my kids lunch. But my so will the for the next events or next year, I don't know if like so this festival is like number one, and if there'll be separate things that are not part of like the annual festival, I'm guessing. But will it be like in Europe again? Will you have it since you guys are based there? Or will it be like traveling around like next year it'll be say closer to maybe like in California where Paul is or in Canada where some of us are. Like will it be traveling around or will it be more like, oh, here's a European one and then we can do an American one or a North American one?
I mean, the plan for now is the German festival will always be in Germany. The Bridges of Meaning German Festival is going to be in Germany. That said, I mean, I love the idea of being able to produce more events, and partner with local estuaries to help them bring speakers and create spaces that help grow the thing they're trying to foster in the community in a and gain a reach that's bigger than what they could do on their own. So, the opportunity is there for more. What that will look like, I don't know, but I'm very hopeful that it can be bigger and that we can have the opportunities to do more events in different places. But that'll take time, and careful planning to make sure it's sustainable. Because
Right.
we, another part of it is we really want it to be as affordable as possible.
Yes,
And
actually,
so
that
there's
was
that
the
balance.
logistics. So
So there's
I
that
mean, you don't have to
balance.
go into all of the logistics, but how can people, is there a website? So did you
Yeah,
mention
so
that?
I'll give you the
Okay.
link to the website, and
Okay.
that will have all of the information, including ticket registration, price, full schedule, little more detail about what they're doing. My podcast is actually going to be one of the events, do a live
Okay.
with my friend Sarah. So it's really fun and exciting. And we're actually running a campaign right now until August, I think it's August 15th, that, reduce price for tickets for this year and next year's festival. So if you want to be a
Oh,
part of
great.
something like this, but obviously it's a little soon for, to plan all of those things, but you'd like to do that, you can pre-order that ticket at a reduced
Great.
cost. And yeah, it'll help us not only fund this one, but continue to fund the next one. And everything we're raising up until August 16th is going directly to event production now and in the future. We're not taking any profit from it. Like
Right.
we're keeping it separate and really just to give back and be grateful. And so we've already got about 30 tickets sold right now, which is super exciting.
Woohoo, that's great.
And this year's festival, we're capping at 100. Just to keep it more manageable. But right now, there's still plenty of tickets. So if you can come this year, we'd love to have you. It's first come, first serve. And all the special tickets are available now. And up until I believe it's July 16th, information is on the website. I'm sorry. I should have been more prepared for this. This is
No,
my
well, it'll make
report.
them be like, oh, I really want to know and I'm curious, so I'll click.
But up until then, we're doing sort of an early bird special. We have a special private lunch with the speakers that you can purchase for a ticket. But anybody who buys a regular pass ticket up until that early bird deadline, you're going to get a raffle, entered into a raffle to pick two seats that the festival will pay to thank
Cool.
people for supporting and, giving back to us and keeping that early momentum going. So if you want or are interested in any of that, go to the website. It'll give you all the links and take you to the places for more information.
Okay.
And yeah, you can always message me. I'm on the Discord, Bridge to Meeting Discord at Cassidy P. But you can also reach out via the Bridges of Meaning website, and we'll be able to answer your questions as well.
Okay, cool. Thanks for going into all of that and for like the discussion. And these are things that are going to, I think, continue to become really important for us, for our children. Like the more online things get, the more like virtual reality becomes a thing. So I do think it's very admirable the let's actualize into material space meetups. I think that's great. I think it's only good can come from it. Well, fingers crossed.
Well, I
Lord
won't
willing.
say that. There's definitely bad that can come from it, but it's like that line in one of the Narnia books where Susan is at the river, and she Aslan is sitting there, and she wants to get a drink of water, and she's like, "Will you promise you won't hurt me?" He's like, "No, I can't make that promise, but I promise I'm good."
Oh, yeah.
And so that's what I see online, a live, real life participation. It's not safe. But it's
But
good.
it's good. Oh,
And
that's
awesome.
good way to end.
Okay.
Well, thank you for coming back on my channel, Cassidy. I
Course.
appreciate you and all the work you're putting into all of this, so
Thank you. Thanks for having me.